Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2, the safe space created for Black women by Black women to strip away the taboo of talking about mental health. You'll hear from mental health professionals and advocates as well as Black women sharing their experiences as we break down the complexities, explore ways to heal, and support each other. My name is Ashley, I'm your host. Whether you're a seasoned regular or this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Now let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2. I'm your host, Ashley, and I've been really looking forward to today's episode. We have such an interesting topic today, and I'm not going to give you any hints just yet, but we have Dr. Tiffany M. Smith. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Tiffany.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here too.
Of course. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on a Sunday. I appreciate it. Let me tell you all about Dr. Tiffany. She is doing some very cool, very interesting things. She is a nurse practitioner, but not very different from the nurse practitioners that we've had on the podcast before. She is, can I say trailblazer? I feel like trailblazer is a good word, right?
Yes.
Good description. But I'm going to tell you guys just a little bit about Dr. Tiffany. She is a doctorally prepared functional psychiatric nurse practitioner and founder of Aroma Functional Nutrition. She found her calling by helping her combat veteran husband recover from chronic pain, PTSD, depression, and anxiety. And she provides practical real-time application tips and has infectious energy, as y'all can see. But she is... she's a military spouse. She's a Blue Star mother, has an aromatherapist degree, and she's also an international speaker. So I'm really excited to get a little bit into a more holistic way of looking at psychology, especially from your perspective as a nurse practitioner. So we're going to get into all that fun stuff later. But if y'all listen to the podcast, and you already know, we're about to jump into Fast and Curious. And Dr. Tiffany looks a little nervous about this, but I don't want her to be scared. Fast and Curious, for anybody that's new, is basically where I just surprise our guests with a bunch of random questions. And it's fun. You say the first thing that comes to mind. If you have a little story behind it, you can tell us. But it's 3 minutes. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Dr. Tiffany. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Black walnut.
Oh, black walnut. Is that like chocolate walnut?
No, it's it has walnuts in it, but it's not far from vanilla, but it just has this kind of a buttercream kind of flavor. Ooh. You can't find it anymore. The closest thing to it is butter pecan.
Okay. No butter pecan. I need to try black walnut.
You might not be able to find it.
Okay.
It's an old school ice cream.
I might have to come visit you, and then you can, you know. Okay. Yeah. What is your favorite time of day? Do you like sunrise, daylight, or that dusk
morning
time at night? Morning?
Yep. Sunrise, okay. Morning time, yep.
What is your morning routine look like? Or what is your ideal morning routine look like?
My morning routine just starts with spending quality time with my husband. Having some reflective moments. I would want to say all this. I get up and I do yoga at the sunrise. No. But what's important to me is spending time with my husband in the morning and just being in that gratitude state. I wake up in gratitude every morning. And that just really starts my day. I see him. I see the sun. I love my life.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. That was beautiful. If you could pick any season of the year, what would you to be or to like, you know, what's your favorite season of the year? Summer, winter,
spring.
Fall, spring. Okay. Why?
I like spring. I like coming off of the winter. I love the nice cool mornings. I love the bloom of flowers and what spring means, that rebirth, that regrowth. It's like starting a new chapter.
It is. It really is. Speaking of chapters, if you could write a book about your own life, what would be the name of the first chapter in that book?
Ooh, now see. Let's see. If I wrote a book about my life, what would be the name of the first chapter? And so when you think about that, you think about you'll start at the beginning of your life. It's me against the world.
Oh, it's me against the world. What would be the name of the current chapter that you're in right now?
The first thing that comes to mind is let go of things that no longer serve you. But it would be something more jazzy, but with that kind of concept and along the lines of putting yourself first.
I like that. I love that. All right, Dr. Tiffany, if you could visit any country in the world, you and your husband, round trip, you can stay wherever you want, which country would you like to go to?
Australia comes to mind.
Ooh, yes.
They seem nice. And it seems
They
like
are really nice.
a really cool place to be with not many hangups, just people
Yes.
enjoying and living life type of place.
Yes.
So
Australia is
that's.
a good time. If you ever make it down there, you have to go to Sydney. That's where I used to live.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful over there.
Awesome
Yes.
sauce, and I'll reach out to you before I go.
Yes. Let me know. I'll give you all the spots.
Cool.
Okay. If you could instantly become an expert in anything, what would you choose? Like tomorrow you can wake up, you can like speak French fluently. Or like you become really good at acrobatics or something.
Woodworking.
Woodworking, what would you build?
Everything.
Really?
Yes. So I'm a DIYer, I
Oh,
see, so
yes.
and furniture is fake and not good and authentic, and it's hard to find the good quality stuff, and it's so expensive. And so
Yeah.
I would build everything. That's what one of the things I'm going to do next is learn how to do woodworking and build things. Build everything that I want. I want a greenhouse, and I want to build furniture and just all kinds of things. I love to build with my hands. Now, my current project, you said, what would I be an expert in? I just got a Jeep, and a Jeep is like Legos. You can build it. So this is something I would that too. I want to build my Jeep out.
I love that. I think you're probably one of the first people that I've asked that question. And you're like, yes, I want to do this, but also I am going to do it. Like, I have plans to actually do it. That's so cool. And from one DIYer to the next, I love that. Like, if you have any tips, I am like on YouTube all the time following DIY pages when I'm not learning about mental health. I'm watching DIY or like how to build a container home or stuff
Yeah,
like that.
hello. Okay, that's one of my tabs on how to take my shipping container and build it out. Another thing, when I was younger, I wanted to go to mechanic school because I didn't want to have my car fixed by mechanics. I mean, that's how much of a DIYer I am. But I didn't do it because, life goes on. I was in nursing school, but I'm like, they charged me something crazy. It was before all of these franchises. It was mom and dad pops, and I couldn't gauge, are you just like robbing me here? I got to go to school. I need to know what's up, And so that's kind of, I brought that forward in my life.
Wow, so you've always had kind of like a I'm gonna do it myself, kind of figure it out.
Yeah, like I said, me
Oh.
against the world.
I think that explains so much of like where you're at now, what we're gonna talk about later.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. I like this. All right. Last question. If you could choose your favorite meal, well, first, what's your favorite thing to eat?
Ooh, what is my favorite thing to eat?
Yeah, and it could be something that you cook, or maybe somebody that you love cooks it, or maybe like a favorite restaurant.
So I'm the cook. I'm a cook. I love to cook. Right now, what I'm experimenting with is pork belly, actually.
Oh, yes.
You said, oh, yes. I'm experimenting with that. I love it. Right now, I'm just making like small crispy bites or just some small strips. They have it at Sam's Club. Come to find out, it's a delicatessen in a lot of places. It has good fat. It has a lot of vitamins. So where it's, it, I saw one article that said it was the better bacon because it's not cured. It doesn't have the nitrates, nitrites. You season it how you want it. So I'm digging some pork belly right now, because I also like that crunch factor, that I can get when I make the bites. So, and again, I'm DIYing, kind of controlling. I like to add my flavor to the meat.
Yeah.
Opposed to bacon.
I like that. The first time I had pork belly, I was in college and I was at this little, one of my favorite like places to eat. It used to be called 24 Diner in Austin. And they brought out the menu. It was probably one of the first times I went there. And they had pork belly on the menu. And I'm like, what is this? And my dad's a chef. So I called him up at the restaurant. I was like, Dad, what is pork belly? So he's telling me, you know, it's this cut of the pork and like, this is how they're going to cook it. And it was so good. But I was just like, I've never even heard of it. It's kind of like a hidden thing. Not a hidden thing, a lesser known part of the
pig. And considered bad, you know, but it actually has it actually has a lot of good properties to it. When the pig is raised well, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on like what country or like what farm right. is that.
Exactly.
That always plays a big part. That's a whole nother episode.
Yes.
But the second part of that question is, let's say you're making your favorite pork belly dish and you can have four people join you for this meal. Now you can choose anybody that you want. It can be somebody who is dead or alive, fictional, whoever you want, but you got four seats to fill. Who are you inviting?
So one would be my husband. One would be my grandma. And I would bring his grandma.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love all these answers. I feel like I get good answers every time, but they're all so very different. I love that. Thank you for playing Fast and Curious with me, Dr. Tiffany.
Yay.
That was really good answers. I feel like we learned so much about you. That was awesome. We are going to go into mind games. So mind games, for anybody that's new, mind games is where we do a little mental health trivia. And so today, I am going to tell y'all a little bit about a disorder. Excuse me. It's actually a personality disorder. And so you guys have a chance to guess. Dr. Tiffany, you don't necessarily have to guess because you're probably going to know what it is, possibly. Okay. This is really for the audience. So don't give him any hints.
Okay.
Any hints outside of what I'm about to give him.
Okay.
So, you guys, I'm going to give you the description of a personality disorder. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to guess what it is, and then I'll tell you the answer and a little bit more information about it. So this particular personality disorder is a condition where a person shows very little, if any, interest and ability to form relationships with other people. It's very hard for this person to express a full range of emotions. People with this particular personality disorder could be seen as keeping to themselves or even rejecting others. They may not be interested in or able to perform close friendships or romantic relationships. And because they tend to not show emotion, it may appear that they just don't care about others or about what's going on around them. This particular personality disorder is less common than other personality disorders, but it is much more common than schizophrenia. The cause is unknown. And some of the symptoms of this personality disorder are actually similar to autism spectrum disorders. Other personality disorders and early symptoms of schizophrenia. So I will give you guys a couple seconds to take a wild guess as to what you think this personality disorder is. While you're thinking or while you're cheating and going on Dr. Google to look, this is a gentle reminder to make sure you're following Black Girls Have Anxiety too on all of the social media things, TikTok, Threads, Instagram. I've given up on Twitter or whatever, X video games, whatever it's called now. I've given up. So if you're following there, I appreciate you, but go ahead and follow us on Threads. Make sure you follow us on YouTube. There's not a ton of content up there, but it will be coming. So keep an eye on that. So keep an eye out for that soon. All right. So the answer for today's Mind Games question is schizoid personality disorder. That's schizoid, and it's spelled S-C-H-I-Z-O-I-D personality disorder. This particular personality disorder, one of the treatments is talk therapy, aka psychotherapy. That can help them know people with this particular personality disorder can help them understand that there is a need to improve relationships with others. there are medicines that are used to treat mental health, this particular mental health condition. It's actually one of the main treatments for it. But some of the symptoms include wanting to be alone and do activities alone. They do not want or enjoy close relationships. So this is different than just being an introvert, where introverts tend to like their alone time, maybe prefer their alone time, but still enjoy time around others. This is somebody that feels no desire to even have those close relationships. This person also feels little, if any, desire for sexual relationships. They take pleasure in very few activities, if any. They often find it hard to express their emotions or react. They may lack humor or just be disinterested in other people, and may even be cold towards other people. They also may lack the drive that it may take to reach certain goals. And they don't really react to like praise or criticism from others. So I'll throw the links for some of these articles that I found into the bio or the description. So make sure you guys go take a look at that if you're interested in learning more about schizoid personality disorder. Dr. Tiffany, have you ever worked with somebody with this particular personality disorder?
I think to varying degrees of it. And there's a lot of functional basis to treating that client over just medication as well. All of those symptoms definitely have a dysfunction that could be addressed mm-hmm. at a root cause level in functional medicine.
Yes, and we are definitely going to get into that. I'm excited to talk a little bit today, a lot of it. We're going to get into it. So we are going to talk about functional and integrative therapies or just perspectives within psychology. But first, for those people that may be new, maybe they're new to listen to the podcast, one of your main titles is nurse practitioner. And I think for some people, especially in our community, there could be like an unfamiliarity with all the range of all the titles that somebody sure, could have,
sure.
all the letters, the LCSWs, right. and all the letters. But can you tell people a little bit about what does it mean for you to be a psychiatric nurse practitioner?
Okay, so we'll start with the nurse practitioner part and then get into the specialization. So a nurse practitioner starts out as a nurse first. So we go to nursing school. We have to work and have some nursing education and background. Most times there are some schools that are decreasing the requirement on your work experience as a nurse, but you're a nurse, and then you get a master's degree that gives you the education to become a nurse practitioner. A nurse practitioner is similar to a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist is your MD form of a mental health provider. And a psychiatric nurse practitioner is your nurse provider form of the mental health provider. So I assess clients, I diagnose, and I treat clients. So that is what, well, I already jumped into the psychiatric part, but a nurse practitioner. Now, a nurse practitioner, like I said, you can get that at the master's level, but there are doctoral degrees in the nursing arena. And so a lot of nurse practitioners or just nurses in general can advance to a doctoral level. So I do have a doctorate in clinical nurse practice, meaning that I bring forth evidence-based practice into healthcare. I help to accelerate our application of evidence-based practice. So that's how I hold the doctor title. But you may have a nurse practitioner that just goes by their first name. Because, you know, they're at the master level, there isn't necessarily, you don't have a prefix, you know,
right,
it's just
right.
nurse practitioner.
Thank you so much for that breakdown, because I think it can be really confusing with the different titles. But I know from what you're saying, so there are psychiatrists mm-hmm. and then there are nurse practitioners, and a nurse practitioner can either have a bachelor or a master's degree or a master's and a doctoral degree.
Right.
All three for those that are psychiatric nurse practitioners. from the doctor, the psychiatrist, to the psychiatric nurse practitioner, to the psychiatric nurse practitioner with a doctorate, all three can prescribe and treat people with mental conditions. Okay, right. Perfect. That's one of the bigger points I always like to point out, because that's, for me, when I first started talking about it, was the most confusing thing.
Yeah. Now, with nurse practitioner, just to talk about specializations, the nurse practitioner can have different specialties. So my specialty, just like a doctor goes through an overall course, and they can be a primary care provider or something, but then you go into your specialty. So we have nurse practitioners that are primary care. We have some that focus on gerontology, that works with older adults. We have women, healthcare, pediatrics. So you can find a nurse practitioner, but that specialization could be different. And that'll take them down different tracks.
Thank you so much for breaking that down and providing that distinction. Can you tell me a little bit about the type of nurse practitioner you were before, and then kind of some of the changes that you've made more recently to focus on the integrative and functional aspects of psychology?
Sure. So in school, we're taught to how to treat, how to assess, diagnose, and treat. But essentially, the medication is the answer, you know, for the treatment. They touch on some complementary and alternative modalities, but the focus is, you come in sad, we give you the anti-sad. You come in with anxiety, we give you the anti-anxiety, and how to determine which ones to give. Mm-hmm. But I know there is more to it than that. You know, it's just not, that's it, you know? And so I don't want to say forced, but I had a circumstance with my husband where we had to figure out how we were going to address what we were going through when my husband said, no more healthcare, no more this healthcare system that we have, because it wasn't improving his quality of life. So he is a combat veteran, and over time he started having increasing pain. And with that increasing pain, he almost was bedbound. He was no longer engaged in our family and in the life, and going to the grocery store and going to the kids' activities because he was having so much pain. Options in the healthcare system were invasive, like steroid injections, for example, or cutting something or something like that. And then the medications, the pain pills, while you can be out of pain, you're also asleep, you know, for 3 days. So there was no quality of life, and he just said, forget all of this. And so we had to say, okay, what are we going to do? Because he's also a healthcare professional, and this is the healthcare system we are trained in. So we had to open up ourselves and start doing research and trying to identify what would work for us. And that's where aromatherapy came in. And so aromatherapy gave him pain relief. With chronic pain, you have depression and anxiety, and, you know, he had PTSD and sleep disturbances, and the aromatherapy really helped us to bond and be together more, because I'm rubbing these oils on him. We have our touch, you know, and just sensualness about this, but now he's up, and now he's back engaged in life. So the next thing is, how can we prevent going back there? So we started looking at lifestyle, and that's when we started to get into how we're living, food, nutrition, circumstances, managing stress, all these sorts of things. And then again, got better. And so as I'm looking at what we're doing, I'm looking at the traditional psychiatric practice, and I'm starting to see parallels where this can benefit the clients that I treat. And so I created a practice and called it Aroma Functional Nutrition Psychiatry, because those were the modalities we used to help us. And it also serves as like something to make you say, well, what's all that about? Because I'm opening up the door for you to know that it's not about, I'm going to give you aromatherapy. It's about finding the formula that works for you to help you in your situation. So for me, it was aromatherapy and functional medicine. But for you, it might be yoga, and it might be hiking, you know, these sorts of
meditation.
Right. So it's about working with the individual and finding that special formula that's going to help their mental health and well-being. And so that's, so I had got all this advanced education to properly be able to address him, but then transferred it into my practice. And so integrative sounds just like the word integrate, integrating those complementary alternative modalities like yoga and aromatherapy and anything that might, that you like, you know, that can help support your mental health and well-being. We bring that in as a part of your treatment plan. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
It is, when it comes to integrative, the integrative piece is one thing that I just want to point out as something that is that something that's new for in the psychiatric world or in the psychology world? Is that something that's new? Is that something that is maybe something that's more on the, I don't want to say outskirts, but more of as an alternative form of how to look at psychiatry or their approach? Because I think for a lot of people that I speak to and a lot of things that I've read, they tend to kind of focus on like the Freudian-based psychology, or they focus on like the humanistic psychology. But I feel like what you're describing is really looking at it from a holistic point of view. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is, that you see people kind of, more people that are nurse practitioners or psychiatrists, do you see people kind of going down that road, or is that something that you feel like you're kind of venturing down by yourself?
So I hear a little bit of psychology and psychiatry. And so for psychiatry, just to be clear, we're going to be talking about actually the treatment of the mental health condition, and psychology more of your therapy or mindset and those sorts of things. So for the psychiatry piece, this is not something new. It's literature that supports integrative and functional medicine, decades and decades and decades of evidence. However, there's pushback on things like this. And even in the organization of other functional psychiatric providers, for example, this company was putting in some ads and got pushback from a particular state that they didn't want to advertise, you know, alternative ways to treat mental health. So there's pushback. So it's not new, but you are gonna, there are more and more providers that are becoming trained in this area. So you can start to see where maybe it was just one, you may find three in your area now. I think also our environment and the way things are now, people are looking for healthy. People are becoming aware of the fact that there's more than just medications available. There's more that we can do. And that's why we have Dr. Google, right? Because people are looking for answers that they're not getting from our traditional healthcare system. And so as a functional medicine and integrative provider, you're able to put the whole piece together, the whole puzzle. You know, oftentimes when you go to the doctor, you can only address one complaint. But you can't say my head hurt, my stomach's upset, I got diarrhea, my hair falling out. They'll be like, nope, one thing, what is it?
You know? That is so true. That is so true. I literally went for my my yearly with a new gynecologist because the last one was terrible. And they didn't want to talk about anything else.
Right.
Anything that could relatively fall somewhere outside of like my uterus. They're like, you should go to your primary care and start there. And then maybe go to like somebody about your GI tract and all these other things. And I was just like, can we just have a conversation here? And so it kind of feels very disjointed as you like, as for somebody like me who is not a mental health professional, as I make my way through the healthcare system, it is disjointed and somewhat frustrating. So that's why I've been super excited about, you know, obviously having this conversation, because it is, for me at least, a new way of looking at things for somebody that, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Let me lean into that a little bit more, because you're 100% true. Our healthcare system, you have your primary, you have your OBGYN, you have your pulmonologist, you have your endocrinologist, and it appears that everything is in separate silos. But what I'm educating and what I want to bring forth is that everything is connected. You know, everything, so for me, everything is mental health, and mental health is everything. And so I can't separate your OBGYN conditions from your mental health conditions. I can't separate your GI issues from why you might be depressed and anxiety. And what I'm saying is that sometimes our mental health issues are symptoms of something else. They're not the end diagnosis. I have anxiety, that's the end of it, Xanax for life. No, you have anxiety because your thyroid is dysfunctioning. If we address the thyroid, we address the anxiety. And so that's the functional part of how I work. We find the root cause and deal with that dysfunction, whether it's in the body or it's in the life or it's wherever it is, we're looking for it. And then that's what we treat. And that's what's going to get you better. So sometimes people come to me for mental health challenges, and it's not your brain chemistry is off. It's not, you know, something's wrong with your brain. It can be, kind of going back to what I just said, it could be the gut, the detox, the liver, what you're eating, struggle with this relationship or work. It can be that you have some genetic dispositions that are that need some supplementation or something to help you, your body have what it needs to function properly.
I love that. That's super encouraging to just hear that there are people out here looking at things from a holistic view. How has your sessions changed? Like, can you give us an example of maybe somebody books for the first time with you and, you know, they've got anxiety, right? Fitting for this podcast.
Right.
Let's say they've got a high level of anxiety that they've been struggling with for a long time. How do those sessions typically start? Like, what kind of questions do you usually ask?
So I have questionnaires that are more than just, you know, have you been on meds before? You know, I need to understand from basically from birth to now, and then also family and stuff, kind of where things are. You know, so it's kind of like a PCP, a primary care type of evaluation. It's whether you've been breastfed or bottle fed, on antibiotics, relationships work, and then symptoms. So if, let's put some symptoms together, you have migraines, you have PCOS, you have fatigue, you have chronic joint pain. So you might come to me and say, I'm anxious. But I have to look at all of those symptoms to put it together. And then I can say, okay, you know, and that'll help guide me into what's going on. But then also your lifestyle, you know, a lot of people are eating better, but they might still eat things that they're allergic to, because it's not like you break out in hives if you're allergic to some food. Maybe they're struggling in other areas. Maybe they need some support in other areas. And we bring all of that information together. So I'll review the information that I have. We'll talk about, and it's them that's telling me, because I'm listening. They're going to tell me what's up. They're going to tell me what's going on, what's wrong, what's striking them the most. That's the most distressing thing for them. And you just have to be able to listen and receive it to put the whole piece together and then create a treatment plan that would work for them. So it's really...
I want to just say something really quickly. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's really powerful that you say, I listen and receive. Because from my own experience, and anybody that listens to the pod, y'all know I have a very frustrating past. I have a frustrating relationship with healthcare and the doctors, some of the doctors that I've seen in the past 5 years or so. And one of my biggest issues is that people listen to prescribe.
Yes.
And they don't quite listen to you fully. Like, as soon as they hear a buzzword of like, I have anxiety or I have pain here.
Right.
It seems like the gut reaction is, you have what? Okay, I'm going to give you this medicine. Would you like this anti-anxiety medication? Would you like these like painkillers? And I feel like they aren't quite listening.
Correct.
They're listening for the first buzzword and then they just roll from there. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a very frustrating experience because I have a story to tell. Like, I've literally walked into doctor's offices with like 2 pages of notes, like, here's what I'm going through from start to finish. Here's how like my stomach is affected. Here's how my sleep is affected. And it's like, I'm yearning for somebody to just sit down and not say anything for like 20 minutes. Like, let me tell you my story.
Right.
And then let's start from there and like figure out what to do next.
Right.
Because if you tell me like, okay, now surgery. And I'm like, but I haven't told you these 10 other things that are happening. And it's like, no, 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 it's okay. We don't need to know that. Like, this is how we fix this one thing. Right. So it's really encouraging that listening and receiving is a big value, it seems like, for you and your practice.
It is extreme. It's, that's where all the juice is. That's where all the gold is. It's from you.
Yeah.
You know, I can't bring my agenda to treat you is how I look at it. You know. And so with mental health, you know, I can say that more so because it's about your thoughts and what you're feeling. And I'll put the physical with the mental based on everything that you're giving me. Well, you're an awesome patient. Let me tell you that. You just keep that up because
that is
what I recommend.
Other doctors will disagree. Other medical professionals are going to be like, get her out of my office.
No,
please.
You want a provider that will do a shared decision making with you, that will meet with you where you are and be your partner in your healthcare, not dictate your healthcare. It's your life, you know? Mm-hmm. So I got to help you have a better life. So I take my bias out as much as humanly possible and receive the person for who they are and what they bring. And that's why there's no 2 treatment plans that are like, I don't have an algorithm and you fit in this box. It's about you and what's important to you.
Wow. I think that's awesome. I'm just very excited. So what I know obviously what inspired you to start to pursue this more sort of integrative and functional psychiatry career and shift your practice to this point. How has your view of prescribing medication only as the only, it's like the main treatment, and typically it's either medication or medication and talk therapy. How has that view changed, and what would you say to somebody else that might be a nurse practitioner that's listening and feeling encouraged and maybe motivated by some of the things that you're saying?
So I say that I do a medication only if needed approach, because the thing is that the medications have a purpose, but in our healthcare society, we're overutilizing it like it's nothing else, you know? And I'm here to say there's something else. There's a multiple something else's we can do. And also to relieve the stigma around mental health care, because when you come see me, you're often at your absolute lowest point to where you're like, I'll take anything. I'll take the medication. I'll do whatever. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, let's kind of, you know, reel this in and see if it's really necessary. But so I want to educate people and help them be stronger in what they can do and what their options are. And hopefully catch them before they're at that lowest point to seek care. If necessary, because with someone that's not going to be just take the pill type of thing. Re-ask me the question because I got off topic a little
bit. No, that's okay. No, you're fine. So actually I have a different question for you, slightly different, going back to kind of the role playing a little bit that we were doing before, where you'd kind of created this picture of somebody that would kind of what they would describe to you on their first session. What are some of the other treatments, because I know we're talking about like there's medication and give me some of the and, like, what's in that group?
So I'm gonna be talking to someone. I'll give you a couple examples, because you had a question: would supplements replace SSRIs? So let's jump into that, and then we'll be getting into the and. So the question again was, can supplements replace SSRIs? And I have to say that it depends. It depends on the root cause in the first place, you know, because an SSRI is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And what that means is that when you have your two cells and the serotonin's in the middle, and so the body's using it when it's here in the middle, And then it'll get sucked back up in the other cell, you know, and then some more mm-hmm. serotonin can come out based on what you need. So it's going to stop it from getting sucked up. So it kind of starts to accumulate for you to be able to use. But when you're looking at functional medicine, you have to understand sometimes people don't have serotonin, you know, to be reuptake. So then, the antidepressants don't work. And so understanding, again, that function, where are you? What are you experiencing? Listening to the symptoms can help you understand kind of what they need. You may use medication short term, but our bodies can create serotonin when you remove that dysfunction. So cortisol, for example, being super stressed, having lifetime stress, you have a low amount of serotonin. But mm-hmm. if you can hang on and we start to work on some things, we can naturally build your serotonin up. It depends on the level of distress as well that the mm-hmm. person may. And they may need something, a medication, which is going to come in like gangbusters and be like you, telling your body what to do. No, you ain't, you know. Yeah. You may need that for a short term while we build the body back up to being able to replace by giving you stress management techniques, eating better, taking supplements, making sure you're sleeping better. These are all mm-hmm. those others. Making sure your relationships are healthier. You're around more people that support and love you. Making sure your work conditions are the best they can possibly be. And make sure that everything in your environment is bringing joy and love into your life. You know, like mm-hmm. the colors in the room, the things you wear, you feel good in, you know, just things like that. The smells you smell, yeah. the food you eat, that when you look around, there's certain touches of love of everything. That's why people have their family, pictures of their family on their desk, right? I'm saying mm-hmm. take it to the 1,000th level, make everything about love. You know, make sure your screensavers, anything you touch, you know,
yeah.
be about that.
I like that. It's a whole different way of like moving through the world and also being
right.
conscious and like mindful of, like, as you can see my office, mm-hmm. that's kind of the yep. the thought process behind yes. me creating this particular space. And like, what do I like? What kind
exactly.
of like scents do I like? What kind of pictures, what kind of colors? And
yeah.
It doesn't have to be like super expensive. Like if you're DIYers like us, right. then, or you're like me and you go on like OfferUp and buy stuff like this. But I think there is something to be said for taking taking a second to, one, notice the things that aren't causing you joy in your space. Right. And then also thinking about what does cause me joy, because or what does bring me joy? Because I also think, I don't have kids, but I think that as Black mothers and as somebody who, you know, my mom, I feel like we were very much like the center of every decision, of course, for a long, long time. But I do think my mom worked really hard to try to still create an environment, whether that be like exercising or like just doing small changes around the house to create a sense of joy and peace in her own space. Yeah. And sometimes I think people don't afford themselves, or they don't think that they're deserving of that. So
you, wow, yeah, you laid into a lot of things there.
Yeah, I just love that it's something that you brought up, because it's something that we don't think about.
Yeah, and so often. Like going to that the chapter of letting go of the things that no longer serve you, that's what this is about. You know, mm-hmm. asking yourself, does this bring me up or does this bring me down? Does this bring me joy or does it bring me sadness? Is it in between? Then it's on probation, you know, and, mm. you know, and you just take everything and apply that rule to it.
Yes.
And get rid of those things that are not bringing you joy. I learned something recently, though, this term called sunk cost fallacy. And what that is that people will hold on to something because of the amount of time or money or whatever they've invested in it. But even though they know it's not going to bring them any joy, any pleasure, any good, you know, why do you stay in that relationship? You know, people will say, well, I've been at this job 20 years. I mean, what? You know, I've put all this time in. I'm not going to go anywhere. I've been in this relationship for 12 years. So when I say things like get rid of those things that no longer serve you, I know it ain't like talk. Mm-hmm. You know, it is not. Mm-hmm. But look at, what do you value? Where is your self-love for you? What do you really want? What if it was another 12 and 20 years? Do you want it to be the same? Is that cool with you?
Ooh.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. No, that's 100% because asking that opens up a lot. It opens up a lot. And it, mm-hmm. I think it makes people do some introspection of like, you know, what I wanted 5 years ago may not be what I want now.
Right.
Or what do I want? I think it's okay to be like, I don't actually know.
Right. And you just have to accept that, because sometimes when we have anxiety or mental health symptoms, it's a discord with our spirit, per se, mm-hmm. our inner voice. You know we need to be, we know we could be, but we're still dealing with this thing. And you sit and you're wrestling with that every day, all day. You know, and it just gets bigger and bigger to where you have outward symptoms because you have this discord within your body. And that sometimes is some of the things that I find, because I have to listen for that. And that's some things I hear where so when you asked about the question about can supplements replace SSRIs, I had a couple of examples in terms of, like, I had a client, I have many clients, but I have one client that I'm thinking of that came to me very distraught, very distressed, very tearful at her lowest state. But as she was speaking, it came out that the bottom line was that she wasn't where she wanted to be in her life. And she wasn't sure about the relationship that she was in. And so no medication. We just, we took time and kind of did more therapy and worked through her perspectives, expectations, what she's thinking. And we just, so I helped her to see where she was, what she wanted, and she started to come into her own and realize what she needed and where she was. She didn't need Zoloft. She just, and what I find most of the time is that people are just getting stuck living life. You know, it gets hard at times. You don't know whether left, right, straight, or U-turn. And you don't always have a safe place, a community to talk to and get it out. So you hold it inside and it brews and you start to have outward symptoms. And then you have your anxiety, depression, breakouts, stomach pains, just aches and pains. You're holding all of that in your nervous system. And then you have physical symptoms that you might not be relating to a mental health challenge that you're dealing with, something, you know, that you're struggling with internally. And that's why you have to go through your two pages of notes, because the answer is there. Another example is like, I had someone come and I'm thinking, when I say one person, I'm talking about a lot of people, but I have a person that comes to mind. So a person came to mind, and it's, you know, their family member has ADHD. So you're thinking it's genetic. So I have it too, because I have these symptoms. And come to find out, in doing some functional testing, was that there wasn't anything mental at all. All of that was good. It was the gut and detox. Mm. And so then we go into how you live, right? What are you eating? How are you managing stress? You know, what are your bowel habits? Those sorts of things. And so if we normalize the gut and the liver, you know, then that can help you alleviate those symptoms. Again, it ain't like talk, and you don't always see the connections. And that's why you would need to see a functional provider.
Wow. Can I be a patient, Dr. Tiffany? Mm-hmm. I know I'm in Florida, but no, I think this is great. This is extremely insightful. I think that this is very encouraging for somebody like myself. I think there are lots of ways to look at the medical system or healthcare. And I think everybody has varying opinions on it based on where you sit, based on your own experiences.
Right.
But I think in particular for Black women, because of our experiences, mm-hmm. because of our very tumultuous history with like mistreatment within the healthcare system.
Yes.
I think that this type of framework might be one of the most powerful things I've heard of, because it treats us like a human being,
yes.
and not just like, okay, check off the list. She checked this on the right. intake form. It treats us like a human being. And it gives us an opportunity for somebody to listen to us, but it also gives us an opportunity to bring our whole selves
yes.
to the appointment. And that is just, I'm just really happy, and I'm giving you your flowers now that you're like doing the work, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that everybody that is listening understands that options like this are available.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've like dreamed about, I wish my doctor like would listen to me when I say this, and then I don't sleep, and then
right.
like I get stomach aches whenever I eat this, and I've had these headaches for 20 years. Like, there are people out there like this, Dr. Tiffany, mm-hmm. obviously, but there are people and providers out there that will look at you from a holistic point of view,
mm-hmm.
And will take everything into account. So, yeah, you're doing amazing work. I hope that you realize that.
Thank
you. I could ask you a million more questions. I won't do that today, but I do want you to tell us a little bit about the online program that you've created. Can you tell us what that entails?
Okay. So my program is called Brain, Body, Being. You know, those three components. Reboot Camp. And the reason why I created this is because of these lifestyle skills. So a lot of times, you know, people come to me and they're distressed, and it's all of that. All of these things that we already talked about. But with some lifestyle adjustments, they'll have improvements, you know. Mm-hmm. So the program is designed for you to start putting in those lifestyle habits and to start doing some of that self-healing physically mm-hmm. and mentally. So then if you still have issues, you know, I'm there. If you need, if I'm providing care while you're going through the program, I'm there. But it's going to give you that foundation that's going to help you throughout the rest of your life to feel better, to help you to give your body what it needs to heal, so that if it is the gut, if it is the liver, if it the way you eat and what you eat, analyzing your relationships, you're going to have all of that support and knowledge through this type of program. By the time this airs, I would have done a restructure on it, which, you know, I have a couple different lengths of the program. So however mm-hmm. much you want to commit to. And you're going to have coaching available. And then I have some upgrades as well, because I'm redesigning it at the time of this recording, where I offer a DNA test that mm-hmm. helps you understand you better. Because, you know, you do all of these different diets and you try all these different things because you're trying to figure you out. And this DNA test is so comprehensive. It's going to tell you, it's going to just read you like a book. And
oh, goodness.
Which will help you to know how to move through life better for you. And so now that you've kind of cleaned your plate, as far as you're not taking in all of these toxic foods, your body is able to now manage the toxicities that we have in our environment. You are eating well, you're sleeping well, your body is able to regenerate. Then you learn about yourself. You're kind of at a clean slate to start applying what you've learned about you. And then that can take you to your next phase of health and development, where I would be there to help guide you as well. So the programs would probably be about 90 days, mm-hmm. 4 months and 6 months. I may do a 60-day one, but 90 days is really where you'll see the juice, you know, see good results on. So that's the goal, is to get that foundation for you so that your body, you're leveraging yourself, you know, you're leveraging your healthcare. If you get rid of the junk, you're going to naturally lose weight. The brain fog will go away. Your hormones will kind of self-regulate. Some of the hormonal issues you may have, like I mentioned, PCOS, fibroids, mm-hmm. things like that, some of that will kind of take its own, it'll take itself out. It'll go away. It'll be better.
Yeah.
A lot of those physical conditions will improve, and it can lead to disease reversal. So people can be reversed from diabetes, for example, and some conditions when you actually follow, when you remove the things you no longer need. You know, it goes back to that chapter, that last chapter I'd write today.
Yes.
Getting rid of those things that no longer serve you. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. And for anybody that is interested in getting more information about that program, can you tell us where they can find that information?
Yeah, the link is the name of the program. It's Brain Body Being Reboot Camp. And I say reboot camp because you already booted up. You've been living life, you know, and you've been trying things. So now let's take all of that and now let's reboot it. Let's take it and then let's add to it and put all the pieces together and reboot you with this new knowledge.
I love that.
You know,
go ahead and get an upgrade. I like
that. That's right. So it's a brainbodybeingrebootcamp.com.
Perfect. And for anybody that is interested, make sure that you check out the link in the description. I'll have all the information for you guys to connect with Dr. Tiffany after this episode. Make sure you go check out her website. If you're interested, or if you just want to ask her more questions about functional and integrative frameworks of this type of approach to healthcare, please reach out. She is awesome. Like, super sweet, and you guys will likely see her on another episode pretty soon, which I'm super excited for. I'm sure this won't be the last time that she'll be on the podcast. But Dr. Tiffany, I really appreciate your time today and your education that you've shared.
Two things.
You got a couple more things?
I got two things for your audience. One thing is I have a 21-day Love Thyself journey that I offer. And it's a private audio podcast for 21 days. And I think that it's so important that out of all of this that we're talking about, you know, it always goes back to why. Why do you want better mental health? And it goes back to you, you know, and you got to first start loving yourself. And then it will come out outwardly into the world and to those that you love. And you may say, well, I love myself. I mean, you know, but no. Think about when you met that significant other, when you're dating, and how you're always thinking about them and you do special things for them. You'll wear a special outfit for them. Love yourself like that. Take yourself out on a date. Love yourself. And in loving yourself, you know, we also say self-care, right? That all of that is, it's all a part of that. Really getting into you and who you are. And it's going to help you be the best you can be moving forward in your life. And you'll get revelations. Like when I said people come to me, they can't kind of see some of the perspectives and ways that they're thinking. But if you just take some time and spend with yourself, some of that stuff's going to come up to you naturally. And you're going to be like, you know what? He been causing me all that stress. You know?
It's time to let him go.
So
this is the sign.
Right. So that's one thing. So how you get that is you'll text self-love as a compound word to 702-919-4249. So it's 21-day love thyself journey. Second thing is I have an app. And the app is called Mental Wellness Unlocked. And in there is going to be a wealth of information about these different lifestyle things, diet, nutrition, exercise, just a lot of information there, and really kind of build the foundation around what integrative and functional psychiatry is, some things you can do, how you can kind of assess yourself, look at yourself, kind of put spotlights on different parts of you to help you start to be thinking, you know, is this bringing me up? Is it bringing me down? Or is it on probation? You know, things like that.
Up, down, or on probation.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. I will make sure you guys, I'll make sure that all the information is in the description. Make sure you text that number if that's something that you're interested in. It is something that she is giving you guys. So make sure you take advantage of this. This is what this podcast is for you, for everybody to get connected to different resources like the ones that Dr. Tiffany is providing. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Tiffany, and offering those things to our community.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Please take advantage of everything. You have the power. You can manage your mental health. Not saying that you don't need to see a provider when necessary, but you have a lot of control and power and resources that can help you and support you. And that's what you want to lean into. You want to identify them when you're not in stress. So when you're in stress, you know where to go and who to get some help from, and yes, and be supported. You know, living this life can be really challenging. So you got to know where to go to get the love and support you need.
Yes, 100%. That's perfect. I don't know how else to end the podcast other than that right there.
Awesome.
Thank you again. Thank you again, Dr. Tiffany. This was such a great episode. I can't wait to bring you back for our next conversation. Super excited for that. But again, make sure you guys are taking advantage of the things that she shared. Make sure you guys are following her on all her socials. And if you have any questions, please reach out. But yes, thank you to you, Dr. Tiffany, and thank you to everybody else for listening. This has been an amazing episode. I hope that you guys learned a lot today. Send me a DM. Let me know what you learned. Let me know if you have more questions for Dr. Tiffany. Yeah, this has been awesome. So thank you to everybody that's listening. Also, I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody all around the world that has been listening. I've been seeing you guys. I just want to make sure I acknowledge that. I see you guys in the States. I see y'all in Canada. I see y'all in the UK. I see y'all in South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Sweden. Like, that's wild to me that everybody is listening from all those different countries. But I appreciate you guys and all the support that you guys give to the podcast. So love you guys. And mm-hmm. I hope you have a great rest of your day, night, whatever it may be. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety Too. No matter where you are in the world, I really appreciate your support. See you again on the next episode, but until then, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Have Anxiety Too and on Twitter at Anxious Black Girls. That's Anxious BLK Girls. And remember, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you have to struggle in silence. The more we talk about it, the more we heal.